As we get started, we're continuing our study of technology as it relates to the Christian life. Last Sunday, we looked at social media. The week, 2 weeks before I went on vacation, we looked at technology and mass media, and now all that funnel really bottlenecks out as we consider the issue of technology as it relates to entertainment, because so much of technology in the past century has been devoted or developed out of a desire and a pursuit to entertain. And so if you have your Bible with you, I'd like us to read Romans 12 and have that in our minds as we consider this issue. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." And in verse 2, this is what we need to have anchored in our minds. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And while the level of technology has greatly changed from when Paul was writing that, the truth still remains that the world has a mold that it wants to shape us with, that the world wants to conform us to. And unfortunately for us, the integration of technology and entertainment is one of the means by which the world would conform us, which requires us to have a great level of biblical wisdom and insight as we consider the issues of technology and entertainment as they relate to the Christian life. As I said earlier, in the past century, even more than any other century before, technology has been serviced and devoted to the purpose of entertainment. You know, with the invention of moving film at the late 19th, turn of the 20th century, the technology has skyrocketed. I mean, there are people who are devoted to developing applications for technology primarily just to distract human life. I mean, think about something as simple as computer-generated graphics, CGI. Now, there was a time that did not exist, and now people are developing software, people are developing hardware just for the purpose of making movies to entertain people. There's a danger to it. The danger is that in our entertainment-saturated culture, that we could come to look at every area of life and think it exists to entertain us. So you're a teacher, your students could come to expect, well, you know, I should be entertained in the classroom. I'm not here for education, I want to be entertained. You know, you could teach them well, and you could teach them all they need to know about math, but if they're not entertained, I don't know if do they still do end of the year reviews on teachers? So they're going to say she's boring or something because they have the wrong expectations. You know, Neil Postman, in his classic work, which he wrote in 1985, Amusing Ourselves to Death, which has very well stood the test of time, wrote, "To be unaware that a technology comes equipped with a program for social change, to maintain that technology is neutral, to make the assumption that technology is always a friend to culture is, at this late hour, stupidity, plain and simple." See, like anything else, it's never neutral because there is no neutral individual. People are either use technology to better lives or to ruin lives. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral ground. And he was writing at a time when it was television. Television managed to shrink itself down and fit in its pocket, so no longer do we sit in front in our living rooms around the television. We carry our television around with us. And the danger is that in being shaped by this entertainment and having our understanding of life shaped by this, we can subject ourselves to the tyranny of the world. In his introduction to his book, he writes that everyone was looking at 1984, reference to George Orwell's 1984. If you haven't read it, you should. It's a great book. But he argues that it seems to be that Aldous Huxley, author of Brave New World, was right. He writes of Huxley, as he saw it, people will come to love their oppression, to adore technologies that undo their capacity to think. As I'm going to point out later, and I'll say this right now, that there are many studies that show that our exposure to entertainment actually stifles our ability to think. It numbs us to the realities of life. It hinders our ability to think critically. That's why we say, somebody's vegging in front of the TV. They're tuning in to turn out to life. Nobody sits on their couch to watch Netflix for 4 or 5 hours at a stretch because they want to think seriously about the issues of life. It's because they want to tune in and turn out or not think. See, unlike reading a book, we are passive in our consumption of video entertainment or even musical entertainment. In his follow-up to Brave New World, Huxley wrote and noted that the civil libertarians and rationalists who are on the alert to oppose tyranny fail to take into account man's almost infinite appetite for distractions. So there is a danger in our Christian life and our life in general that we could be so distracted to the realities of life that we don't realize that we are being shaped and conformed by forces and influences that are contrary to the Word of God. So that we could allow what we see on the TV screen, the movie screen, or our telephone to define what we think is the good and righteous life, rather than being transformed by the renewal of our minds. See, we need to remember that there is a purpose behind every technology, and it does come equipped to change life. Every technological development in the history of humanity has led to great societal change. The invention of the printing press turned the world upside down. That we can share the invention of the television, wireless communication. All these have had revolutionary impact on the world. So if somebody really wants to create a revolution and turn society upside down, they don't need to fire a bullet or blow up something. All they have to do is invent a new form of media. Think about how the invention of the smartphone has changed our lives. Our generation, we're glued to it, but even more so, the generation below us. Now, my generation, was the generation where they first were coming out with cell phones, but the monochrome screen, there were no games on it, no video, there was no picture, and they were not allowed in the classroom. And from what I hear, that's been a rule that's been very difficult to enforce in recent years. So Postman argues about regards to Huxley's warnings in his book. He says, what Huxley teaches is that in the age of advanced technology, spiritual devastation is more likely to come from an enemy with a smiling face than from one whose countenance exudes suspicion and hate. In the Huxleyan prophecy, Big Brother does not watch us by his choice. We watch him by ours. There is no need for wardens or gates or ministries of truth when a population becomes distracted by trivia, when cultural life is redefined as a perpetual round of entertainments, when serious public conversation becomes a form of baby talk, when, in short, a people become an audience in their public business, a vaudeville act, then a nation finds itself at risk. Cultural death is a clear possibility. And his argument is that's exactly where we have become. That we're not engaged in life. We're an audience. We're an audience in public. We just want to watch and see what's going on. Think about some of these instances of violence that have occurred in recent years. That individuals will see somebody being attacked in a subway in New York, and rather than become an active participant, they're an audience who creates a wider audience because they're recording it. We're so removed from life. And all this comes about and impacts us in two primary ways that I want to address. The first is the numbing effect of entertainment media. I mean, there have been countless studies that have demonstrated that what we are exposed to in our forms of entertainment, be it a movie, television, video game, or even musical content, that what we're constantly exposed to, we're desensitized to. We're numb to it. There have been psychological studies out where they've shown violent content to someone in the form of a movie or show, and then they gauge their response to real-life violence. And through their exposure to the entertaining form of it, they're desensitized to it in reality. So we're numbed to the reality of life. As I noted in our first week when we looked at mass media in general, mass media, be it the news media, social media, entertainment media, they want to keep our emotions at fever pitch. They want to create, when we're watching the movie, the sense of fight or flight. So not only do we get enough stress in our day-to-day lives, but we're exposed to it in our forms of entertainment, and so we become numb to the realities of life. And this has great impact in a bad way on our spiritual lives. Dr. Donald Whitney, a professor of biblical spirituality at Southern Seminary, wrote a wonderful little book. If you ever get the chance to get your hands on it, get it. It's called Simplify Your Spiritual Life. In one of his chapters entitled, it's a one-page chapter, so it's an easy book to get through. One of his chapters entitled, Avoid Spiritual Anesthesia. Now, he's wrote that before the invention of the smartphone. But he and so what he's writing applies to our smartphones as well as what he says. He writes, television is the most powerful cultural influence on the planet, but it does little to promote either simplicity or biblical spirituality. Instead, like spiritual anesthesia, TV dulls the sensitivity of the soul. For instance, almost any show you see will laugh at something God says is good or normalize something God calls sin. Television frequently contradicts God almost as directly as the serpent in the Garden of Eden. It saturates the mind of the viewer with the world's way of thinking. Remember Romans 12? Do not be conformed to this way of the world, our entertainment. And this is a form of TV, whether we want to admit it or not. It saturates the mind of the viewer with the world's way of thinking. Television displays a rapid succession of pictures that we passively observe in contrast to forming mental pictures ourselves as when reading, which causes the imagination to atrophy with an inactivity. And this makes the concentration and meditation on Scripture more difficult. On top of everything else, watching TV simply takes time. Time that we later say we don't have for spiritual disciplines other than possibly a very few obscure Christian broadcasts where on TV can you find a good example of what you want to be spiritually. Beyond its impact on our spirituality, TV is no friend to anyone trying to simplify either. In fact, TV's very existence depends on an incessant parade of advertising intended to make us feel discontented with our experiences, possessions, relationships, and appearance. The words of writer Wendell Berry, TV persuades us to believe that all worth experiencing is somewhere else, that all worth having must be bought. And he closes, I cannot pronounce God's complete will for you regarding TV, but as you seek Him on what is good for your soul, in this matter remember James 4:17. Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Television may not have the power to kill the Christian soul, but it anesthetizes it by the hour. Like with so much of social media, remember, you're the product. You know, television, my generation, you know, I think of being a small child, all of those cartoons that were cater made for my generation were actually advertisements for toys. You know, trying to shape us and think, okay, you know, if you really want to be a happy child, you need the newest Optimus Prime. Dating myself with that, I know. But it hasn't changed. It's just increased. And so we are being shaped, whether aware of it or not, to be discontent with our lives. You know, we have these car and truck commercials that are trying to conform us to the world to where we think, okay, you know, I need a new car every year. Oh, my car doesn't drive by itself. I can't press a button and let my car drive for me. I need to go spend the $50,000, $60,000 and get that new car that drives for itself so I can be cool like everyone else, so I can be content, because those people on the commercial, they look way more content than I am. Now, we watch the sitcoms and we think, you know, my life's like not like that. You know, we watch the workplace comedies and we think, man, my job really stinks. We never have laughter and fun like that all the time. And so we end up having this distorted view of reality because we're being shaped by the forms of entertainment that have developed through technology. You know, we become numb to life. We become dissatisfied with life and we think, you know, it's not as big and grand as what we see on TV. We invest our times in it. Well, we invest our emotional and we numb our mental energies. This doesn't just impact us on the individual level, which it greatly does. It pervades every way of life. He also, Dr. Whitney also notes, he contrasts his grandparents' generation. They lived in Tupelo, Mississippi. He writes, when my mother's parents married on May 29, 1919, they moved into a small house near a community outside Tupelo, Mississippi. Their home had no electricity, telephone, or radio. It was quiet. Says, after my grandfather went to the fields in the morning, the only sounds he heard all day were those of God's creation or the ones he made himself. The crunch of the plow on the ground, his cries of gee or ha to the mules, and his singing. Back in the farmhouse, the only sounds my grandmother heard were the ones she made while working around the house, or the sounds of God's creation, the birds, the wind that came through the open windows. They were alone with their thoughts and their God all day long. If my grandparents wanted information, conversation, or music, they had to make a special effort hitching up the team and taking a long ride in an open, bumpy wagon. Mostly this happened on Saturday when they did their weekly business, trading they called it in town. The majority of the music they heard was in church. Our experience is just the opposite. Friends or families go out to eat together and their conversation is distracted by loud music and TVs in every corner. Children riding in a vehicle watch TV or listen to music on their headphones while their parents listen to something else on the radio. It's hard to go any place void of music, TV, or personal messages mediated by technology. Portable electronics allow us to perpetually surround ourselves with sound. So we're constantly being bombarded, distracted. We can't even focus on our own conversations. We can go out to dinner with our family with a purpose of wanting to spend time with our family. And what are we walking into? We're walking to wall TVs. Constantly bombarded by this because the world's purpose is to shape us. The world doesn't want to miss an opportunity to conform us to the world. But again, this doesn't just hit us at the individual level. It's not as if we're isolated individuals being transformed. The second way, in addition to being constantly numbed and distracted by the technology that's being used for entertainment, such that we can't seem to get away from it, it affects the church. Neil Postman notes this in one of his chapters, and in that chapter he writes, he notes that religious use of television, on television, religion, like everything else, is presented quite simply and without apology as an entertainment. So a lot of people, they pull out of the local church because it's not entertaining to them. They can find entertaining forms of religion on the television. He says that entertainment offers what people want. You're going to find the entertainment that you want. You're going to find the movie that you want, the type of music that you want. But he notes a stark contrast. He says there is no great religious leader who offered people what they want, only what they need. But television is not well suited to offering people what they need. And I'd argue that over 30 years later, the same is true for the television that we put in our pocket. It's not geared towards giving people what they need, but what they want. That's why you can keep scrolling through. You see a video that you don't want, you just scroll through. You know, you step into a church service, it takes a bigger commitment to walk out if you don't like what you're hearing, if it's not entertaining to you. And so many people, their view of the church has become such that they think it's a place where they should be entertained rather than the biblical vision of we should be edified. We're supposed to build ourselves in love. We're commanded to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody with our hearts so that there should be a unity and an upbuilding that's the purpose of the church. But many people, their understanding of the music and the preaching ministry of the church is such that they think that somebody like me is supposed to have a lot of witty one-liners to keep them rolling and laughing in their seats, and that they should leave having a sense of amusement and maybe feel a little better about themselves when they leave. Furthermore, it erodes our ability to discuss truly important things. If all we're exposed to is this trivial entertainment that trivializes life, how are we going to discuss the serious issues of life? How are we going to sit down with our family members and talk about the realities of life and death when we become so numb to them? Yeah, T. David Gordon, seminary professor, author, he wrote a book during an 11-month bout with cancer called Why Johnny Can't Preach. And in it, he makes the argument that it's owing to the shifts in entertainment that we are living through right now. He writes, "Mundaneness is, I believe, part of the curse of Genesis. Genesis 1, the earth no longer yields its bounty without toilsome labor and much frustration. Our routines make us more efficient as we attempt to scratch out some form of survival in this cursed environment. But those same routines can make us more like cogs in a machine and less like humans. Life becomes a series of tasks with a few uninterrupted moments to pause, to reflect, or appreciate. Verse is a common grace gift that enables us through the fog of images and sounds to again see ourselves and others as bearers of the image of God. When the poet stares at that which the rest of us merely glance at, he invites us to ask, a longer look along with him. It is precisely this longer look that is necessary to cultivate a sensibility for the significant. Here, the shift of dominant cultural media has been profound. Because television, in contrast to poetry, is essentially trivial. Everything about it is trivial, and it is the perfect medium for the trivial. Because its images must move, and indeed even camera angles must move, on average less than every 3 seconds, it captures best those things that are kinetic, that have motion, yet few of the more significant aspects of life involve much motion. Love, humility, faith, repentance, prayer, friendship, worship, affection, fear, hope, self-control. Most of what is significant about life takes place between the ears as we make sense of life, of our place in it, and of our failures and successes, our joys, our sorrows, our fears, our loves. This world of the mind and the soul is essentially a linguistic world, a non-kinetic world, a different world from the world of rapidly changing, moving images. And then he's going to argue that our being shaped by this makes us unable to think and discuss about these things that can't be put up on a screen. Says television and even film doesn't depict these realities very well and is at its best with the superficial and trivial, which is why late Neil Postman, in his Amusing Ourselves to Death, expressed a preference for the Three Stooges over the Neil Lehrer Report. Neil Lehrer Report was a news program. Says neither program was significant, but what had the pretense of significance in it was this pretense that irked Postman only by televised viewers' own silly standards. Could someone spend 10 to 15 minutes on a matter of public interest and consider this to be in-depth coverage? Nothing of public importance can be covered in 10 minutes. Fewer important matters can even be adequately introduced in 10 minutes. Yeah, you know, our news, which is a form of entertainment. People watch news not to be informed, but to be entertained because, you know, as they point out, you can't seriously address the issues that they pretend to address in a matter of a few minutes. You know, how are we going to understand the intricacies of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine in a matter of minutes when there are decades and centuries of history there? It says a culture that reads can consider what is significant because reading takes time. That which is significant ordinarily takes time to apprehend, but a culture that is accustomed to commercial interruptions every 6 or 7 minutes loses its ability to discuss significant matters because it has lost the patience necessary to consider them. His basic argument, and I think it goes far beyond the preaching ministry of the church, is that, you know, Johnny can't preach because Johnny can't hold a thought in his head for longer than 6 or 7 minutes because he's been conditioned by the media around him that you have a thought and then you move to the next one. You have to be constantly moving and you can't think seriously about life. I don't know what these studies will show at the end. There have been studies that show that exposure to media in the form of tablets or whatever actually exacerbates the symptoms of ADD and ADHD. Now, isn't it interesting that, you know, my generation, the generation whose babysitter was the television screen, that's the generation where ADHD suddenly becomes a national phenomenon, and it becomes increasingly more so once they figured out how to shrink the TV down so that a child can have their TV in their hands in their own room. No wonder why we can't focus on life. No wonder why we can't think much about the matters of life, because we're constantly exposed to the trivial, and that filters into the church. So that whereas there was a generation that could discuss these things and think about these things, find ourselves unable to, because our attention span has been conformed to the world, and our view of life has been conformed to the world, so that we find ourselves unable to talk about these things that truly matter. Things of ultimate significance. And so the end result is that we go through our lives devoted to the trivial, uncomfortable with that which is truly important. You want to try this, test this out, try to discuss death with someone you know. I mean, that's the most important issue that we face. Everyone is going to die, and that, after that, the judgment. Try to discuss that for any amount of time and see how quickly that conversation gets shut down. Try to discuss with someone, how do we determine right from wrong? How do we determine what is the good life and how we glorify God with our lives? And count the seconds till the conversation shifts to the weather or sports or politics, which in our day and age, our political engagement is like Postman Notes, not Big Brother watching us, but us watching Big Brother. You know, there are people that watch C-SPAN for the entertainment of it. And so, again, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. The world always wants to shape us. And 1 John 5 tells us this whole world lies over the evil one. So to be conformed to this world is to be conformed by the prince of the power of the air that is now working the sons of disobedience. So the world is going to use all these forms of technology to shape us. And if we're going to make a difference in this world for the good, we have to be aware and push back and pull away when we're being shaped. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And the sad reality is far too many people have been so anesthetized by their constant exposure to all the forms of entertainment around them that they could care less about taking the time to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable, perfect. They just want more of what the world has. And the reality is, the more we look like the world, and the more we act like the world, and the more we think like the world, the less impact we'll have on the world. You know, the world doesn't care if we watch the same programs as them. You know, nobody's going to say, "Wow, I want to become a Christian because you've seen every season of Game of Thrones." They're not going to care. You're going to be like, "Oh, you're just like me. Bye." Closing, A.W. Tozer wrote, "The church that can't worship must be entertained. And men who can't lead a church to worship must provide the entertainment." And I think when we look at churches across the United States, far too often this is exactly what happens. This is why we look at the world and we shake our fist at the darkness of the world. It's because rather than learning how to be salt and light in our communities, we decided it's a lot easier to be entertained. So let's push back against that desire for constant entertainment. Let's not let the technology that is being used for entertainment make us vegetables. Let's be transformed. Let's not be conformed to the couch potatoes or whatever the cellular equivalent is. Let's be different. Let's dig deep and draw near to Christ and think seriously about the things of God. Okay, any questions or comments? Has this been helpful so far for you guys? Kind of makes the world make a lot more sense, doesn't it? It's also frightening, too. If there are no other questions or comments, Caleb, would you close us in prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the lesson that we've heard. Ask that you please help us to remember each day to utilize technology in a way that is honoring to you and that will help get the gospel to other people. Pray you please help us look past all the entertainment that the world tries to offer to us and help us focus on you and how you would have us to live. Pray you please continue to be with the coming service today. Thank you for everybody that can make it. Pray you please be with the ones that are home due to sickness or whatever. Just help us keep you first in everything that we do. And we love you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.